All right. Another morning, another interesting and useful, I hope, idea. So first off, a very quick update. I've decided on the raw live format for this podcast for now, in part because I think content should be king, not presentation. Presentation does matter. But right now, I feel I'm at the point where my editing and scripting is just putting lipstick on a pig. And instead of striving for a better lipstick, I'd rather just strive for a better pig, given limited time and resources. Okay, now on to this morning's idea. Today we're going to talk about reciprocity. And fairness, because they're very tightly interlinked. And we're going to talk about reciprocity in the context of raising children, of parenting. And, of course, about fairness in the same context. Now, why is reciprocity important? Why is fairness important? Well, there's two ways. This is the first important idea. So idea one, there's two ways you can get your needs met in this world, in a society, interacting with other people. Either by using force or by using negotiation, communication. And, of course, negotiation is a form of communication. So, words or swords? I like how the two words are so close, just one letter apart. That's the fine line between violence and negotiation. And so, if you don't want to use force to get your needs met, to solve every problem you have, which is a very, very inefficient strategy, especially long-term. Long-term is disastrous. It might be efficient short-term, but as Peterson says, we have to optimize as human beings for, and as parents, when we educate our children, we have to optimize for winning the largest possible number of games across time, not just for winning the current game. Because yes, for the current game, for winning any one particular current game, like violence, as in cheating, threatening, bullying, use of force, physical force even, is a valid strategy, but where it becomes invalid is across time. And as humans, as time monkeys, we have to take the time dimension into account if we want to be successful. So, since there are only two strategies, and one of them involves both sides winning, and the other one involves just one side winning at the expense of the other, so we have a win-win or win-lose interaction. If we want to get the win-win interaction, I'm going to talk about in a second why that is preferable again, then we need to negotiate. And a negotiation is satisfactory to both parts when it is fair, or to turn it around, what is fairness, actually? Fairness is applying the same principle universally. Fairness is universal principles. Have you ever seen a situation where a child does the infamous cry of, "Not fair!" I have. I bet you have. If you think about it, they cry about it, and what they cry about is that what's happening, they are perceiving as being unfair. It's an unfair treatment. And let's look at that concept for a second. What does unfair actually mean? We said before, it's when you apply concepts or principles, rather, when you apply principles or rules, if you want to simplify it, inconsistently. You do not use the same rule for everybody. Some people get treatment A, rule set A, some people get rule set B. And if you think for just a second on how widespread this is in parenting, it's not even funny. And how often parents require children to do what they say, not what they do. Right? And it's all for the good of the child, obviously. Because, hey, I'm not doing it, but you should. Why? Because it's good for you. Well, if it's so good, why don't you do it? Unfair! I have to do something you're not doing. Unfair! So actually, if you think about it, children are like little prediction machines. Like they, while they develop and while they learn, a very big part of that is actually deciphering how the world actually works. What are the rules by which this world operates? If they can figure that out, they have a very high chance of survival compared to a child who doesn't figure that out. So guess what? The world operates on rules. So figuring the world out, which is the main job of a child, with hopefully the very important contribution of their parents, figuring out the world is basically figuring out the rules by which the world operates. And this might come as a surprise, but because of this, children are very sensitive to injustice, to things being not fair. It might seem like it's not the case. It might seem like, well, you can't get a more, you know, a creature that's less concerned about others and more concerned about themselves than a child, a small child. Like, they're pure egotism. Like, it's me, I, right? This is what we criticize in adults who are immature, that they only think about themselves and they're self-centered and they never think about anybody else and they lack empathy and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, children are like this. So how then can I say that children are actually very sensitive to injustice? Which one is it? Are they little justice aficionados? Big fans of justice? Or are they just, I don't care about you, I just want to get my way? Which one is it? Well, it's both. It's both, and they do not contradict. Here's the mind-blowing part. These two do not contradict each other. Because, let's follow along. They have to figure out the world. The world works by rules. Rules, if they're true, they need to be applied consistently. So you haven't figured out the principle. You can't say, as a scientist, that you figured out a scientific principle, a scientific law, if it doesn't work all the time. Like, if gravity sometimes works and sometimes it doesn't, well, then any theory of gravity can be thrown out the window because it's clearly not true. Any theory that says that gravity is a constant force throughout the universe based on this equation is bogus. Because obviously sometimes that's not the case. Guess what? We cannot find an exception to that rule. Maybe, I don't know, some edge case, bottom of the wormhole, extra special conditions, right? But not in the observable and livable universe that we every day interact with. Okay, as far as children are concerned, and to be honest, as far as you're concerned, black holes don't exist. Okay, they don't affect your lives. So again, children need to figure out the world. World works by rules. So children need to figure out the rules by which the world works. And these rules need to be consistent, objective and consistent, because reality is objective and consistent. And if your rules by which you describe reality are not the same as reality, they don't share the same properties of being objective and consistent, then they're not really valid. Okay? They're not true. You've just managed to create a set of rules that don't really accurately describe reality, so they're useless to you as a kid, as a child. They don't increase your chances of survival because the information they convey is false. Okay? Okay. Now, so children have a great benefit and a need of being able to tell if a rule is not valid, because they need to filter out the valid ideas that they get about how reality works, how the world works, from the invalid ones. So because of that, we've naturally selected, being selected by evolution, or designed, if you prefer it that way, to be very good from a very early age at spotting inconsistencies. That's essentially what fairness is being consistent. Is, okay, this rule applies, but it applies to you and me both equally. If it doesn't, unfair. Now, this doesn't mean that the little ones are altruism machines, that they're very preoccupied on how others, of the well-being of others. And yes, they will try to get away with winning more than others. And yes, they will only complain when they are the ones who are getting the shorter end of the stick. But that's not because they don't know it. They know when they're getting away with things. They know when they're being unfair. But it's just, that's the lack of morality. That's the lack of socialization. It's the name of the game to try to get away with everything you can. Morals be damned. Again, evolution has selected for that. So that's how children can have both a very acute sense of fairness and a very pronounced inclination to be unfair themselves, while complaining when others are being unfair to them. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, let me know, leave a comment. I'll elaborate more on it. Okay, so what happens then when people do something unfair, when people behave inconsistently, when parents model inconsistent behavior, where that's a real problem, and we as adults do that all the time, and it can be even in the most insidious of ways. Not that you're being insidious when you're doing it, it's that the mechanism by which you feel obliged to do it, or you feel it's right to do it, or you feel it's moral, or it's, name it however you want, it's good to do it. That can be very insidious and hard to spot. And I'll give you a very common example of this, is the common rule, especially female rule, that, and for good reason it's female, I'm not being just sexist here, right? It's females tend more to apply and to recognize and to use this principle that you shouldn't offend others, you shouldn't upset the feelings of others, you should be mindful of other people's feelings, right? And that is for good evolutionary reasons. Again, maybe we'll touch on them if we have time in this episode, but I doubt it. It's a very interesting subject. I'll probably make another episode on it. So yes, they want to not upset others. It's a that's a principle, right? So let's see what's going on here. So if a person doesn't express their own feelings, let's say you're in a situation where somebody close to you does something that upsets you, but you don't tell them. You feel upset. You feel angry. You feel hurt. You feel afraid, maybe. You experience negative emotion, okay? But you censor that emotion. Why? Because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Let's say they want to spend so much time with you, but you'd rather be doing something else. Maybe you feel you've spent enough time with them already, and why push it more? I mean, that's more than you're willing to give at this point. Maybe they're making mistake after mistake after mistake, and they seem to not have the goodwill to learn from their mistakes, or they don't seem to be caring about you that much in their interactions with you, or they're hurting you repeatedly while you tell them you'd rather not see that behavior from them because it's, well, you're actually not telling them. And you know, that's the whole point. You don't tell them about any of this. Why? To not upset them. Okay, why not upset them? Because their feelings are important. Their emotional comfort is important, right? Do you see the problem with this principle? Do you see how hypocritical it is? Do you see how unfair it is? Because, of course, why do their feelings matter so much more than yours? Because if the principle is that feelings matter so much, and feelings are so important, well, then your feelings are important as well. And you are breaking that principle by censoring your feelings and not expressing them and not resolving them and not taking a course of action that would actually address your negative feelings. Because that would imply upsetting other people's feelings. So it's actually not just feelings are important. It's other people's feelings are more important than your feelings. Which, of course, is an invalid principle because you can't apply it universally. Like if you take person A and person B and they interact, like if person A thinks person B's feelings are more important than person B thinks person A's feelings are more important, then whose is it? What is that? That's two subjective opposing truths. They can't both be true. Whose matter? Whose matter more? A or B's? But they can't be both. Do you see? So, that's actually an invalid principle. That's actually a win-lose interaction because either A or B has to censor their own negative feelings in order to not upset the other person's feelings. All right? So, where was I going with this? Oh, yes. If a principle is invalid, it's going to be unfair. If it's going to be unfair, children won't want to do it. So if you model any invalid principles, children are going to call you out on it. And if you're not aware, and if you're not philosophically equipped, so to speak, you're not educated. Like philosophy, I think it should be just like reading and writing. It's reading, writing, math, philosophy. Like this is the basic things you learn in elementary school, right? Not elementary school, because I'm not an advocate of schools. I caught myself there. But they should be taught at the same time or at the same level. So actually, it's children that are trying to optimize and simplify their worldview. Because think about it, if we have a principle that says all interactions should be win-win, all voluntary interactions you have should be win-win, you should refuse to have an interaction that is not win-win, okay? Versus some interactions are win-win, some interactions are win-lose, and you should find a way to figure out which is which. So for each person and each interaction you have with them, you should figure out, based on some assumingly not obvious principle, which one is it this time? Like, which one's simpler? Which worldview is simpler? Which worldview is more true? Children are going to optimize for simplicity because they have an innate, evolutionarily selected principle of Occam's razor. If something's more simple, probably that's the true principle. If something's more complicated, then probably that's not the answer if I have a simpler alternative. So yes, the worldview according to which all interactions should be win-win is the simplest one. You don't have to figure which ones you're going to have and which time, because with the same person, you might have some win-win interactions at one point and then some win-lose interactions at the other point. And then, of course, you're going to try and balance it out, and you're going to feel like, well, if they have too many win-lose interactions with me and they win too much, then now I have to win more and they owe me, and you're going to see how complicated this is. The easiest principle is just communicate your negative feelings to the other person, because the actual principle is that all feelings are valid and matter if you want to have a win-win relationship with the other person. So part of a win-win relationship is being honest with the other person about your feelings, because guess what? If they care about you, they should care about your feelings. And if they don't care about you, why should you care about them and their feelings? See how simple it gets? That's it. That's really it. So, let's wrap up. Quick recap. We looked at fairness and reciprocity, because I said it's about reciprocity, but I've hardly mentioned it in the whole episode. That's reciprocity. Like, you care about my feelings, I care about yours too. You provide value to me in a relationship, I provide value to you too. So it's a win-win. It's a trade. It's a negotiation in which we establish how we can both win from this interaction. Right? That's reciprocity. And that's how you teach a child morals. That's the very first step of teaching children to behave morally, is teaching them reciprocity, which is not equivalent to morals, but it's a very basic and required level. It's required, but not sufficient. So in order to have win-win interactions, we must have fairness, which means principles that apply universally and equally to all parties at all times. And to do that, we must examine our behaviors for instances of unfairness and not model that to our children, or at least, and that's very difficult, be open-minded when our children call us out on it. Whenever you hear a child crying out, "Unfair," listen. Really take a moment and examine your behavior and the behavior of people around you and the whole situation, because 90%+ of the time, it's probably something going on that's unfair. And sometimes it's just them trying to get away with something, because they will. Right? And them not being able to get away with something, that they will consider that unfair. But guess what? Only if you constantly get away with something. So then they consider unfair what? The simple fact that you can get away with breaking principles and having relative and subjective principles, and they can't. So always look first towards yourself. That's the moral of today's episode. When a child cries unfair, look towards yourself, because probably there's something that you're doing that's unfair. Thank you for listening, and I hope you find this useful. And share it with somebody who you think might benefit from it. Have a great day.